Good morning to everybody.
Good morning, Chair.
Good morning, Chair Pesman.
Good morning, Chair.
Has Judge Desai connected?
Morning, Chair. The judge has not connected, but ourselves as officials in the Office of Legal Services, Umbati, we have connected. My name is Victor Stroga. I'm the acting director of the Legal Services, Umbati.
Okay, now, good morning and welcome to the rest of the team. Let's wait for the judge. We're supposed to start at 5:30.
Morning, Chair.
The
judge is not connecting. He has requested us to proceed with the meeting.
Oh, okay. As I've already welcomed everybody, this is a briefing on the capacitation of the legal services of the Ombuds. We will be receiving a briefing from the office. The judge has rendered his apology. We will invite now the director, Legal Services, the acting director, to take us through the presentation.
Morning, Chair. And many members of the portfolio committee. If the presentation is visible, I can continue. You'll indicate from your side.
Yes, it is visible.
Thank you, Chair. I think the presentation on the from the Office of Legal Services Ombuds is going to have the following content, the purpose of the presentation, our vision and mission, our values, the mandate of the Office of Legal Services Ombuds, the establishment of the office, the constant needs that we have done in the previous months, the operation of the also, and we will also indicate the planning and the way forward. How we view the office to improve its efficiency in assisting various members of the public in our country. And I think on the purpose, just to outline the progress made in the establishment of the Office of Legal Services Ombuds to the Portfolio Committee, is to outline key elements since the commencement of the operation of the office since its launch on the 15th of June 2022, and also to outline plans and the pace and pave the way forward for the office. Okay, I think here we have a mission is to protect, advance, and ensure ethical conduct in the legal practice fraternity. In our mission, we're saying is to promote an accountable and ethical legal profession by protecting and promoting the public interest in relation to rendering of legal services, to ensure fair, efficient, and effective investigation of an alleged misconduct against legal practitioners, promoting high standards of integrity in the profession, promoting the independence of the legal profession. That's our mission. Our values is to promote integrity in the legal profession and considering the Constitution and the rule of law, committing to remain independent and without outside control or influence, being fair in taking accountability in all decisions emanating from our investigation. With regard to transparency, that will act in an open and transparent manner towards all stakeholders. That accountability is being accountable to all stakeholders in delivery on our mandate and take responsibility for all services access is to ensure that access to all our services in a non-discriminatory manner to all our stakeholders. This is our mandate, Chair, and members of the Portfolio Committee. This mandate is derived from Chapter 5 of Legal Practice Act 2014. And Section 46 specifically of the Act set out the objective of also as follows, is to protect and promote the public interest in relation to the rendering of legal services. We've got the B, C, and D that clearly define and explain that on B, it says it's to ensure the fair, efficient, and effective investigation of complaints of alleged misconduct against legal practitioners. C is to promote high standards of integrity in the legal profession. D is to promote the independence of the legal profession. These are derived from the Act, Chapter 5 of the Act. And here are various sections of the Act and subsections which gives effect to our mandate and our functions in the office. We just went through a different subsection in the section just to explain the purpose of the subsection and activities that we are responsible ourselves as an office. We've got Section 40, we've got Section 35, we've got Section 37, Section 40, and Section 41. And all of them in the document, they explain in as far as the responsibility of the Office of Legal Services is concerned. It continues on this page, on Section 42, 45, and different subsection on Section 45. And Section 46 and Section 47, and also the responsibility and the purpose of such section and subsection in as far as our office is concerned. These are the sections that check the members of the Portfolio Committee have just explained of what we are supposed to do. Section 51, I'll just have to deal with it here because it provides for the appointment. This is the establishment of the office where I think the relevant questions that we ask about our capacity and how far we are is clearly explained here. Is that Section 51 provides for the appointment of a director and other support personnel to ensure that the office runs on a daily basis. And the section further makes provision for the funding of the office so that we have for the structure, we're able to do investigation, we're able to report, and as well to be accountable on those areas. So on this section, what happened since last year is that the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development, when the office started to operate, there were three officials that were seconded to establish also. These officials were led by the former acting director who was seconded from Department of Justice, and then it was myself who was also seconded, and then there was Mr. Ramaroga who was seconded from various branches of the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development. In the main was to establish the office and ensure that relevant sections that are going to make the institution to be operationalized are gazetted in the government gazette. And we've been able to achieve those objectives of gazetting various a piece of legislation that needed us to be operationalized. The other one is the last one is to gazette the operational date, which was the 15th of June this year after the launch of the office on the 2nd of June 2022, and it was launched by the minister and the deputy minister. And then we go to 51. I've just explained that already the data has been declared, the costing processes initiated, and they are ongoing. Section 52, it makes provision for the submission of the annual report for the Oslo, which I think we'll be able to do on this one. Section 93, I think is self-explanatory there. So with regards to capacitation of the Office of Legal Services, Ombudsman, and members of the Portfolio Committee, that
can't hear you on my side.
The internet disappeared for a while. Mm-hmm. And what the Honourable Nicola Dutton wants to say for all of us.
Oh, yes. I thought the problem was that because of network. So we wouldn't know when. At what point did he disappear? So maybe because the slides were circulated in advance, and I hope that members have read the slides. Let's allow him to proceed. Can you proceed, Acting Director?
Thank you, Chair, and members of the committee. I think also the network might be bad. I'm not sure whether it's from my side or that side, because when I was stopped, they were cutting while they were speaking. So you will indicate if you are losing me so that I can you can see what to do. But thanks very much, Portfolio Committee. I was explaining about our inception and what assisted and the deployments of the officials that happened to assist the establishment of the Office of Legal Services, Ombud. I explained that there were officials that had an experience in assisting the department to form various entities, which is information regulator, even when the Office of Chief Justice was established, they were sent there to assist in terms of putting systems together to ensure that this institution was there. And this comrade is an official, Godfrey and Matthew Litego. So they were deployed there with all of us from last year up until now. And subsequent to our initial deployment, where we were just few, I think we were four of us from last year. Then there was an additional request to have the following. As per the initial funding that was allocated for the establishment, we had a director, acting director. We had two deputy directors. And this is the initial approval from the Department of Justice in terms of the establishment. One assistant director, finance, which we have never filled it. It will be filled. And then we had one assistant director again, which we have never filled it. It will be filled. And just an admin clerk and one messenger and two auxiliary services between the Cape Town offices and the Pretoria offices. Because what I want to indicate is that we are operating in two provinces for now, which is Cape Town and also in Gauteng. We are based in Centurion. And the offices that we were using were temporarily squatting. I can say squatting because the Department of Justice is in the process of preparing the office space. In Pretoria, we are based at the Law Reform Commission. And in Cape Town, we are based at the Office of Chief State Law Advisor, temporarily just for us to put system in place. Then, here is that we requested the Department of Justice to make additional funding for us to be able to have five legal practitioners. Three of these legal practitioners are based in Gauteng, and two of them still based in Western Cape to deal with investigations and also to deal with the complaints that we receive, so that they start dealing with the complaints as and when they come to the office. And this amount, I think, is self-explanatory. If there are questions, we'll take it there in terms of the compensation budget and the operational budget. So this was the start when the office was established, which was during its inception, the financial year 2021 and 2022. And because there were few officials seconded for the establishment of this office, the bulk of the money was not utilized. We started utilizing finances in this financial year, which is 2022-2023, because we have got five legal practitioners that have been employed, three in Gauteng and two in Cape Town. On this one, I was explaining about our office space that we are squatting that temporarily up until the Department of Justice and Department of Public Works finalize a process of procuring new offices. Western Cape, I've explained where we are based. And we also, on the office space matter, we're saying, we, like I said, the department is supporting us in getting new office space. We want to have an office because most of our officials in Pretoria, they share offices three or four in one office because so that they can be able to start the ball rolling. And we've developed the following documentation for legal services onboard, which they are going to be finalized and be approved. The five-year strategic plan, service delivery model, HR and finance policies have been developed, which are at the draft level. The complaints management processes also has been developed. A draft functional structure also has been developed, as indicated there, and I think they are in the final stages of being approved. Costing and funding, I think from where we are now, already there also has submitted its costing and funding requirements through the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development to the National Treasury in August 2022. 2022. So we are awaiting they respond on our request to have funding so that we can be fully functional as an institution. And the Department of Justice is assisting us from time to time to ask how far the treasury is. And this funding that was requested, I will show the figures of the amount of money that was requested for financial year 2023 and 24 and 25 and 26. And it has been shown here on the screen. If there are questions also, I think we will be able to answer. Since the office has commenced its operation on the 16th of June 2022, these are number of complaints to date, as of the last day of October 2022. These are number of complaints that were received. In total, the complaints are 71. And we've been able, out of the 71 complaints, to complete and close 7 complaints. And some of the complaints that they are still outstanding, you find some of the complaints, they have not even yet passed through the LPC. Some of them, they just bring the complaints straight. So we've got all those statistics of the complaints that we received, and the ones that we have to send them back to LPC to be done first, then, so that we can, if there's an appeal process, post it and LPC ruling, then we're able to deal with it. And here I think it is important to note that we receive quite a significant number of inquiries on a daily basis, at least 4 of them all the time, from different members of public. And there's been an observation since the inception of our operationalization to date is that the most of the complaints are from Gauteng, we've got 30. Then we had other complaints. These complaints are the complaints that are coming formally in the form of letters, writing, emails, and others where members of public or stakeholders, they just make calls to our offices. But observation is that majority of them are from Gauteng and Western Cape. Here are the key operational aspects. The current trends will be utilized to establish norms and standards going forward. The data of 6 to 8 months that we have received, we will use it to establish these norms. The trends will also be utilized to establish a national footprint, the trending as far as the complaints that we receive. Also is that as an office, as an institution, we have a plan to go on an awareness campaign in all provinces so that members of public, they are also aware of the existence of our office. Resources will be allocated based on true statistical data. The baseline data are being generated using a monthly report on the provincial trend as far as the complaints of concern. These are some of the things that we're just trying to show. This support in the main here, we get it from the Department of Justice on this one. And I think the other thing, Chair, I just want to go back here, is that which we just want to indicate to the committee, is that I think we, as soon as Treasury approves our financial request, we will be able to get an office space in Gauteng and in Western Cape. Secondly, we will be able to move with speed in as far as the awareness campaign across the countries, except that the judge has been on various media platforms trying to assist us as an office in as far as the awareness campaign is concerned. Various radios in Cape Town, in Gauteng, but national radios, by the way, including in cases. And those are some of the things that I think we up to so far we have achieved. We have been also been able to compile a database of lay persons, because the lay persons sit in the decisional committee of the LPC. We've got a database now that has been, we went into the national newspapers to make an advert for those who are interested to apply and be part of the database, which happened around July. So we completed that process and were able to also make a workshop, introductory workshop between ourselves and LPC with the lay person, which took place in Pretoria and also in Cape Town. And the list has been submitted now to the LPC. So as and when they have got hearings against legal practitioners, they're able to draw from a variety of skills that we have submitted to them, the lay persons database. So that is one of the achievements that we've made. And we're left with one proclamation, which is going to take place on the 25th of November 2022, assisted by Chief State Law Advisors and the Legislative Development in the Office of DDG Calais. So once that is done, all other pieces of sections that were supposed to be gazetted, they will have been gazetted. What will be left again is just for us to get proper offices, funding from Treasury, and then we start operating at the full scale. So I thought those are some of the things that we can share with the committee. But I think the Department of Justice is giving us a support. There are some of the financial requests that in the meantime, we will do them. And from all the time, they are there to monitor and also to keep us, so that we can kickstart and be really independent as the Act says so. So I thought, Chair, that is the information that we can share with the committee. I'm with the Head of Legal Services, Mr. Ramrova, and Head of the Acting Head of Operations, because all of us were acting at also. If there are questions, I will indicate if there are questions as to who is going to answer, depending on the area of the expertise. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Acting Director. Thank you for the presentation. Members, are there any questions or comments? Honorable Chele, Honorable Breitenbach, Honorable Yapo, in that order. Honorable Nipo Trochens, in that order. Honorable Masoko Chele.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning, colleagues, and also the team Chairperson. I just want to congratulate the team for the work that they have done up to this far, particularly checking the on the period that they have been working on this, 2022, and you opened the offices, established this of June. So though there's still a long way to go, but the work that they have done, Che, let's just note that work, and also wish them we the best for them to be continue establishing this office. And Che, maybe the question that I'm going to have is based also on the office space, because now they don't have their own office space, and it's they are still new. I'm not sure if maybe did they consider the buildings that are for government, not leasing, because most of these offices, institutions, they normally go the easy way, in terms of just go and lease. They know that government will pay. So my question is around that. Have they thought about that? in consideration with the finances of where we are as a country in order to say 10? That is the first question. Number two, maybe I was going to, and I would also want to know that what kind of, the nature of complaints that they have received so far. As they're saying, they got 30 from Gauteng and then another number from Western Cape. Because I think the other question that I was having with them, it was the connection with the very same complaints. Why Gauteng and Western Cape with those numbers without other areas? We don't hear the report, but they also indicated that they're still going to go around other provinces in order to promote the office. But I would love them to comment also on that issue, because I would think that if up to now the people of Gauteng are aware in the Western Cape, so other provinces are not aware, even if they have not yet done the campaign. I wanted to find out as to maybe if they can give just a comment check on around that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Breitenbach.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning to everybody. I'd also like to know what type of complaints are received. I'd also like to know how they're dealt with. What do you do with the complaint that you receive, and what do you consider finalized? What is the outcome when you close it? So what is the path that a complaint follows in the office? I'd like to know how many people are currently employed by the Ombud, how many actual people are employed, and where they are. And then, Chair, they haven't spent last year's budget, and already they're asking for more money. Perhaps they should think about spending the money they have already and worry about getting more as and when it becomes essential. And if this is what the Ombud is doing, dealing with complaints against legal practitioners, then what does the Legal Practice Council do? And what does the Bar Council do if the Ombud is going to be dealing with complaints against legal practitioners? Is there some difference in how they're approaching? I don't know. I'd like some more information on that. And do they only react on complaints that are referred to them by members of the public or whomsoever? Or do they take note of shocking behavior of legal practitioners in the public space and deal with it very much? So those are my questions for starters. Chair, I may have one second, but Chair, thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Jacob.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think I am covered by the speakers that have spoken before me now. Just one more thing. When they speak about awareness campaigns that they're going to embark on, I want to know what is their approach with regards to those awareness campaigns? Which communities would you be going to or that you target that you want to make aware that you exist as an Ombud? And I want to understand that specifically because most of the crimes or issues that are illegal that need to be reported are from predominantly poor communities. But then how do you reach those communities and how do you then speak to them in a manner that is reachable to them for them to understand that they can come to you and report cases? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable Nivo Tuchan.
Chairperson, and good morning to the Office of the Ombuds. Thank you very much. I also have similar questions to my colleagues. I want to also know how accessible the office is to the public. I see the two provinces, Gauteng and Western Cape, there's a lot of complaints there because you have offices there. So how do you make yourself visible and accessible in other provinces as well and to the public? You're saying you're campaigning through radio. Is it only through radio? Do you have any other means of creating awareness? And then also, do you cover all the languages and other languages? Then I see you said the total of 71 complaints received from June up until October 2022, 71. So I'm curious, up to date now, how many of those have been resolved and how many have not yet and were closed or have not been closed yet. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Members would indicate after the responses if they would want second bites. Can I hand over to the office, to the acting director and your team to respond to the first round of questions?
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, sir. I think I'm going to firstly, I'll respond to the operational matters. But I would like to also to give my colleague, the head of investigation, just to expand specifically into the section of the Act in as far as the functions of the Office of Legal Services Ombuds vis-a-vis the LPC. Because I think this very important question must have been a misunderstanding of what exactly the office ought to do and what the LPC ought to do. Then when he has done, then we'll be able to respond to other operational matters of the office that they've asked Godfrey.
Good morning, Chair, and the other honorable members. Thanks for giving us the opportunity to come and present you to this committee on the functions of the Ombuds, including the capacity, the funding related to it. Now, relating to the questions asked of the nature of complaint, they vary, but mainly it's all about the issues relating to the legal profession. Because most of the questions are almost the same, let me indicate frankly the difference of the LPC, the Bar Council. The Legal Practice Act, its objective to come into operation was to formalize and create uniformity within the legal structure as a whole. As the Honorable President Bach would remember, the Bar Councils were regulating themselves, and then the attorney's professions was regulated by different law societies within the different provinces. You have the law societies of the northern provinces, law society of KZN, etc. Now, the Legal Practice Act brought all of that under one roof to create uniformity so that there is discipline, there is regulation of the profession as a whole. So the attorneys and the advocates are now, as legal practitioners, all of them regulated under the Legal Practice Act, and which is managed by the legal practice councils. So in every province now, you have a legal practice council, and then you have a national office of the legal practice council sitting in Johannesburg. In effect, now the bar councils, much as they're still there, however, they are no longer having that regulatory role as the Legal Practice Council had. So the Legal Practice Council is now the overall body of the legal profession. So if there's a complaint, now coming to the question as to whether do we look at complaints that we receive from complainants? Yes, the Act provides us to look for that. And whether we can investigate Marumutu, yes, the Act provides that we can investigate on own initiative, which means we are constantly looking at what is happening, the trends that are out there, having to have to look into court cases coming up and what is happening. As Mr. Soroga was explaining initially when he started with his presentation, the Office of the Ombuds' biggest mandate is to look into the integrity of the profession, promote the independence of the profession. Apart from the investigation of complaints, that promotion and of the independence and the integrity means that we can investigate on own initiative of any aspects by a legal practitioner that might be bringing the reputation of the profession into disrepute. Are we looking at trends? We are looking at trends. However, we try to avoid duplication of functions between ourselves and the legal practice council so that they don't end up doing nothing. They still have to have a regulatory role to play, and they have also a code of conduct that the legal practitioners must abide by. And when we receive some of the complaints, we try and encourage complainants to also approach the LPC for assistance. And this is mainly because currently we don't have the necessary capacity to can investigate those complaints on our own. This comes back to the question of why Western Cape and Gauteng have so much. As you have noted from the presentation of Mr. Soroka, Gauteng is leading with the number of complaints, Western Cape follows, and then KZN, Limpopo, seemingly on par. I think it's because of Gauteng. It's regarded as the economic hub of the country. It has the biggest population within the country, and as a result, it would naturally follow that most complaints would come from there, then followed by the Western Cape. And that is why when Mr. Soroka comes into also explain on the awareness campaign, that we want to ensure that the members of the public in all the other areas within the country are aware of the profession, are aware of if there is a complaint, where they can go to. The Ombuds Office is also as a result of Section 34 of the Constitution, that if you have a complaint, there should be a forum, an independent and objective forum, that complaint can be resolved at. And that's where also the Ombuds Office comes in. Also the judges there is because of to maintain that independence of the profession and the independence of the office, because we're regulating private legal practitioners. So we have that office, or the office is there as such. There was the question of the nature of complaints. As I've indicated, that nature of complaint, they differ. There are some complaints which don't fall within our mandate, but within our mandate is that it's any complaint that might be about the fees charged or the conduct by the legal practitioner to the client, not communicating with the client, or the legal practitioner having abused the trust fund or not accounting financially to the client. They vary, but most of the complaints we have had so far, it's mainly on those aspects that the attorney is not accounting to the client, or is not communicating sufficiently with the client, or that the attorney has overcharged on the fees. And some is because that the attorney has not accounted in terms of the trust fees that, or trust funds or monies that should be held in trust by the legal practitioner. These currently are most of the cases we've had. There has been one or two cases wherein judicial officers have complained on the conduct of the legal practitioners in court, not observing the decorum of the court, talking to the court out of 10, or addressing the court in a demeaning manner or in an unprofessional manner, or addressing their fellow colleagues in an unprofessional manner, in a demeaning manner. Those are some of the complaints we have had so far. But we have also had complainants that one may say that they are serial complainants. They have had multiple legal practitioners representing them on different cases. And with each legal practitioner, they've had a complaint against that legal practitioner. And some of those complaints have been addressed by the LPC, and there's nothing we can do about it. They're unhappy about the outcome of the LPC. But as Mr. Soroka has explained, there is Section 41 that is still open to be proclaimed, to become operational. Now, that section will help resolve a lot of complaints that are outstanding, because it deals with the appeal process of the LPC. The Ombuds Office doesn't have an appeal authority over the LPC. What can happen is if a complainant is unhappy with the LPC's outcome, they have two options available. Appeal in terms of Section 41, which is not yet operational, which we hope that by the 25th of November, the presidency will proclaim it as operational. The other alternative would be to approach the High Court and conduct a review application to the High Court. But we know that process is a very expensive process and a very lengthy process as well. So that is another problem that is there, and we know that our economy at the moment is very dire. A lot of our communities, as the members have observed, that why do we have minimal complaints coming from the other provinces? And as the one other member indicated, there seems to be minimal complaints coming from communities that are disadvantaged. And why are we, and what are we doing to reach those communities? Mr. Soroka will explain on that one. But in a nutshell, that's where we are, and we hope that when that Section 37 and 41 are proclaimed, they will assist with resolving outstanding appeal matters that are there. I'm not sure if I've answered all the questions.
thank you, Chair. I can continue on dealing with outstanding questions that came from vulnerable members. I think we've indicated that on the 25th of November, we're going to proclaim Section 37 and Section 41, which speaks about the appeal process opposed the LPC's verdict on the outcome of the disciplinary inquiry against the legal practitioners. Section 37 deals with creating a database and composition of a disciplinary committee, layman's person that I said already. We have compiled the list and has been appointed. So these two sections, they will be operational post the date of a proclamation. The other issues or complaints that we deal with, like he has explained, some of them is just legal practitioners, if they are not happy with the verdict of the LPC. Those are some of the things that we have observed or we have received as the office. The issue of considering on the matter of the office space, yes, you are correct, you are considering those options. We have been talking to Department of Justice through the Director General and so that they can assist us in looking into the available office space where government departments, including our own department, is occupying. But in as far as the Cape Town and the Pretoria one, I think for now we have struggled. Like here where we are based in Cape Town, we are just squatting in the office of Chief State Law Advisor, and the office is not conducive. We can't even receive a complainant if they can't be masked. There's no boardrooms there. The number of people that are currently employed is 10 that are employed, and this is between Gauteng and Western Cape. The Honourable Member asked about why are we asking money while we can't even spend what we have. I have explained that the initial funding that we received was for the financial year 2021-2022, which was not utilized because by that time there were no officials that were temporarily being employed. At the moment we've employed, so all the money for compensation has been exhausted, has been used. So there won't be such cases where the money will be returned. Even for this financial year, the remaining money for compensation, I think it will end around end of December. We're already in the process of asking the Department of Justice to give us additional funding for January, February and March so that we can cover those months. On the issue of how are we going to reach rural communities, we are aware that we're also receiving a lot of complaints regarding the conduct of legal practitioners where they have fleeced their clients with money from RAFs. Those are complaints that we have, and some of the complaints that are coming from master's office where they complain about the conduct of attorneys from master's office as to whether it was the issue of curatorship, liquidation processes. There was an issue of where there was a death and there's a fight of executorship, and the various letters of executorship are coming out to different. So those fights, those are some of the complaints that we've been able to
maybe you must switch off your video.
In the bank account of the legal about these monies, are they going to be able to help? Okay, and we have a receipt on the rural areas, Wewanga, Northern Cape, because you also become very worried where.
Sorry, Director, can you go back to the issue of the executorship? Because I think that is where we lost you.
Yes, I was saying some of the complaints is about various. Complain about the conduct of the legal practitioners in as far as the master's office operations is concerned, where there was a funeral or somebody passed on, letters of executorship, how lawyers contact themselves. So I was just explaining
types of complaints that we are receiving on top of the issue of the trust account money, issues of RAF related issues, liquidation of various businesses or people. And the other complaint that we receive is where you find a person who is disbarred, has been removed from the role as a legal practitioner, but he continues to offer that service, which we don't have much more power to deal with it because it then becomes a criminal matter. I think we received this complaint somewhere in around September. It was coming from Limpopo, where there's a person that still continues, even if he's removed from the role by the LPC, he continues to behave like he's still a legal practitioner. And what we do in that case, we advise the complainant to authenticate with the police. So I think I've answered about what I'm doing with the awareness campaign. We are going to target rural areas where with traditional authorities or cartel across the country so that our services reach all corners of South Africa. So I think those are some of the things that we were doing. I'll just give Godfrey got one item that he has left, and then if there are further questions, we'll be gladly be able to answer them.
Morning once again, honorable members. I think you also explained, fellow, why we are saying we need more funds. There is the aspect of Section 42, which is about the monitoring by the Legal Services Ombudsman, and why we need more funds so that we can have more and employ more personnel. The section is because one of the reasons the LPA came into play was that the members of the public felt that legal practitioners disciplining other legal practitioners, we protect each other because we don't want to bring the reputation of the organization or the profession into disrepute. Hence, we protect each other. Now, as you have heard from Mr. Soroka, that one of our mandates, the key mandate, is to protect the integrity of the profession, not to protect a legal practitioner, but the profession itself. So which means the LTC, when it then conducts its disciplinary proceedings, the Legal Services Ombudsman has this legislative mandate in terms of Section 42 to be able to can monitor the investigation process that the LPC might engage in conducting an investigation by the LPC. Because some of the complaints we have noted also relate to complaining saying, the LPC has not come back to me. I just laid a complaint, and then the next thing I get is a letter saying they have interviewed the attorney and they agree with the legal representation or legal practitioner on what they are saying, but they have not looked at A, B, C, D things that I have. So in terms of that section, we can review the process that they have engaged in. We can monitor that process. We can monitor the disciplinary proceedings themselves. We can monitor even the appeal proceedings themselves. But also, as I have said before, that some of the complaints, we may refer back to the LPC to investigate and deal with, as it would be more appropriate for them to deal with. But that does not mean that the Ombud office will be absconding from its responsibility. We will be able to can monitor the process to ensure that the proceedings are done in accordance with the law and are done fairly, efficiently, and objectively. So that section is already proclaimed. However, with the five legal practitioners we have, it's going to become an impossible task to do. The LPC is sitting at more than 15,000 backlog disciplinary matters, and that includes appeal matters as well as investigative or to conduct disciplinary inquiries themselves. So the role of the legal services ombudsman is to have a much more broader oversight of the LPC, of the profession itself. Therefore, the funds we get, amongst other things, in terms of the organizational structure and mandate, we hope to expand on being able to execute its mandate as indicated in the Act. Thank you, members.
Thank you very much, members. Is there another one who wants to still present from your side?
No, Chair. I think we are okay.
Done. Thank you very much. Members, are there any members who would want to make further comments or questions or ask questions? Honorable Breitenbach?
Thanks, Chair. Yes, the platform missed it. Somebody rang my doorbell and my dog's barked. I'm still not sure about how a complaint is finalized. What is the process of a complaint? What happens to it from the time it comes in until the time it's finalized, and what is considered finalized? And again, I don't understand the distinction between what the Legal Ombuds Office does and what the Legal Practice Council does with regards to discipline. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to take from Honorable Breitenbach what he said, the LPC and the Ombuds. In terms of the complaints, if the attorney is complaining about maybe some of the things that are happening among themselves or among, are they able to, are they able to complain to them also about each other, something like that? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Okay, thank you very much. And over to you.
Thank you, Chair. I missed the last question because there was a break in the system.
I think if I understood her, she will correct me if I'm wrong. Is that members of the legal profession, are they able to complain to you when they are disputes amongst themselves? Can they complain to you when there's a dispute, in the dispute that involves one of them complaining against each other? I'm not sure whether Honorable Chair, did I hear you correctly?
Yes, yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair, and the members. Let me start with the question of the Honorable Maseko Joele. Yes, they can, and they can also complain against the LPC. So as I was trying to explain, that the legal practitioners themselves can also complain against their fellow colleagues. If, let's say, they are in court and one says the other spoke to me in an unprofessional manner or has treated me unfairly or anything of that nature, they can complain to us also against fellow legal practitioners. They can also complain as legal practitioners against LPC. In the Act, Section 48.1, it will indicate that the Office of the Legal Services Ombudsman has a mandate to investigate the abuse of power in execution of the Act, which means the Legal Practice Council, as the administrator of the Act, we can investigate against the LPC. In fact, we have a complaint wherein the LPC is complained against on a matter that comes from another legal practitioner. And we have found that the LPC has abused its role in that regard, and we are in the process of communicating our finding with the LPC on that regard. There's also that's a Cape Town matter, or Western Cape matter. There's also a matter, similar matter in Gauteng as well, by the legal practitioner against the LPC. The Honorable Breitenbach asked a question of the distinction between the ombud and the LPC. The LPC is a regulatory body of the legal profession. We are more of an oversight body of the legal profession, and that includes also oversight over the LPC. And that's why, members, when you look at Section 14 of the Legal Practice Act, it says that the Minister of Justice can approach the Office of the Legal Services Ombud if he or she is unhappy with how the LPC is administering its functions. Is it in an efficient manner? Is it in an effective manner? So the Office of the Ombud can conduct that investigation and provide the minister with a report in that regard. That indicates our oversight role of the LPC. Then if you go to Section 48, subsection 1, will show you that we have a role to play in terms of the administration of the act itself. If I may just read quickly the last part. The ombud is competent to investigate, comma, on his own initiative. And I think it also answers the Honorable Breitenbach when she asked the same question earlier on. Or on receipt of a complaint, comma, any alleged Roman figure one maladministration in the application of the act. This is against the LPC or the Fidelity Fund Board. Abuse or unjustifiable exercise of power or unfair or improper conduct or undue delay in performing a function in terms of this act. These are the functions that will be performed by the LPC or the fund themselves. So we have that role to also, that's an oversight role, that are they exercising their functions in terms of the act adequately. Any act or omission which results in unlawful and improper prejudice to any person, which the ombud may affect the integrity and independence of the legal profession and public perceptions in respect thereof. This is in Section 48, 1, Roman figure 1, up to Roman figure 3. So the LPC administers the act. We oversee the administration of that act. But over and above that oversight role, we can also investigate on our own initiative any complaint coming from a complainant against a legal practitioner or against the LPC or by a legal practitioner against a fellow legal practitioner or by a legal practitioner against the LPC or the fund. Any institution administering the act, we have oversight over that institution. I'm hoping that I'm answering also that question of the distinction between the ombuds and the LPC. And hence, we encourage members of the public to lodge complaints first with the LPC as the regulatory body to conduct the investigation. And we will then use our mandate in terms of Section 42 to monitor the investigation of that complaint to ensure that that complaint is indeed investigated efficiently, effectively, and objectively. So our roles are that different, although at times in terms of investigation on own initiative or on receipt of a complaint, they may overlap between the LPC and us. But in the main, we are an oversight institution, and the LPC is a regulatory institution. Now, the question of how do we consider a complaint to be finalized? Where we find that, let me give this one example. A complainant comes in and complains about the office of the master that there is either fraud happening in the, we don't have mandate over that office of the master. So we will indicate to the complainant what should be the process they need to follow or where they need to go, and then we'll close as far. But where a matter, say, involves a legal practitioner, and the legal practice counsel has dealt with the matter initially, and the complainant is unhappy with the outcome of the LPC, because we are not or we do not have appeal authority or review authority over the LPC, we will advise or rather recommend to the complainant to follow one of those two options. Either wait for Section 37 and 41 to be promulgated and then lodge an appeal with the LPC, which we can then monitor. And in fact, when Mr. Soroka was presenting, he indicated that one of the milestones we have achieved is the completion of the database of lay persons. Now, that database means that we will have a lay person. And by lay person, we mean a non-legally qualified or experienced person who will sit as part of the appeal committee in an appeal matter by the LPC. And the objective is to ensure that there is a non-legal voice that ensures that the matter is not swept under the carpet, so to speak, but to ensure that the matter is handled objectively, properly. Now, we will also, or we can also exercise our mandate in terms of Section 42 to oversee that the investigation right through to the appeal process, that complaint is handled properly, and that that is answering the question by members of the community of thinking that we are protecting each other or protecting the legal practitioners. So that is to ensure that the process is done effectively. So a finalization of the matter will mean that we will refer that matter there, will ensure that until then that final outcome is done. And whether we have no mandate or we have a resolution of the complaint properly, and that's what we will consider as finalized. I'm not sure if I have adequately answered the question of Ms. Breitenbach, but that's about it, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Members, are you all answered? Honorable Chair.
I can have the last slide, Chair. I just want to find out about the turnaround time. Turnaround time for complaints, Chair.
Okay, thank you.
That is the I missed it, yes.
The turnaround time.
Thank you, Chair.
Yes.
At the moment, because we are still starting out, although our turnaround time has been roughly around 3 months, but it's also dependent on, we put the time of 3 months to also communicate with the LPC. And we came up with the 3 months based on the backlog and amount of cases that the LPC has. Because as members would know, our law states that there's the audi alteram partem rule. There's a complaint, that someone complains against, you have to hear the other side, what is their take on the complaint. So we have put at the moment around a 3 month period as a turnaround time for now. But as Mr. Soroka has explained, we are starting out. A lot of the policies are still being developed in the final stages, and we are finding our feet. We are determining processes as we go on in terms of how should we handle a matter, how should we approach a matter, and all of that, including creating a communication process with the LPC in order to ensure that we speed up the process of finalizing matters so that complainants don't have to wait too long to know what the resolution is.
Okay, just a few issues. Why is the position of your finance person at the level of an assistant director, not a deputy director? Because if you go to almost all organizations, the CFO, but the person who deals with finances must have the necessary authority just below the head of the institution, because it's not just a clerical job. I think that the organization as it develops, it will not just be an issue of clerical things that must be dealt with by the finance section, but it also deals with that it makes decisions, some of them that might not be comfortable. So it's important that they must have the necessary authority. So if in your case the head of the institution is the director, you have deputy director, why do you relegate that function to be far, to be below even the deputy director?
Thank you, Chair. I think the initial support from the Department of Justice is that we are not yet independent up until we get funding. So all financial matters are dealt with by the CFO in the Department of Justice. So the assistant director, a person who is still going to be employed, was to assist the institution just to develop policies with the help of the CFO branch in the Department of Justice. But on the structure, the proposed one is that the finance person is going to be at the higher level so that there's accountability and there's a sense of a decision-making powers as per regulations of the Department of Public Service and Administration. So this one was just a temporary measure so that when we are to procure things in the institution now, we can be able to do necessary requirements, and then we submit to the Department of Justice, because all approvals are in the Department of Justice, including the employment, all approval levels. I think systems, the policies that we use, we are still taking from the Department of Justice up until we get funding and then we become independent at the X phase. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. And then I think there was an issue that was raised by Honorable Jere. I think if I understood her well, was that I think she was referring to the whole of state and not only government departments. For instance, if we go to Pretoria, I know that Pinel, in fact, when I was still there, they had a building with open and unoccupied offices. That you must also look at some of the state-owned enterprises, and there are quite a number of them. If you go to Johannesburg, who were there as the committee last time, there is a problem, for instance, with the Carlton Center, that it has been standing vacant for decades now, and snakes are the legal occupants in that building. That there are quite a number of buildings that are owned by the whole of state, not necessarily government departments, but maybe you can, as you raised your issues of tenancy, that you can also ask the department and the Department of Public Works to look at.
Thanks, Chair. I think we will take that. I think those are some of the things that we're looking on the office page.
Mm-hmm.
Accessibility, practicality, availability, and accessibility. But one of the things is that our offices must not be far from where members of public are unable to arrive in terms of the transportation. Next to the center of everything, if a person takes a taxi from Khayelitsha, is able to arrive in town, in Cape Town, he doesn't have to go far outside of the town. If it's in KZN, it must be closer to where an ordinary people in South Africa, they will be able to access. But I think we will take counsel from some of those advices that the committee is giving us on how we must, by the way, following the proper processes of acquiring offices through the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development. And I think here we've got the in office Mr. Chilwane and the DDG Corporate Services, just Department of Justice, they are listening. They will, as and when they assist, they will take those things into consideration. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. No, I think we are coming to the end of this engagement. Thank you very much.
I want to follow up on that one, on what you said. I just want to find out, Chair, is it possible that these offices, we have these offices, some of them, right next to the township chair. I just want to find out, because when he talks about town, people move from, they pay money, and now taxes are very expensive. Is there any possibility also to check within the municipality's offices, right in the township, other offices? If it's not possible, it's fine, but I wanted to find out.
I think that's it.
Yes, I think we're looking into all those possibilities. The closer to the people, the better to serve the services, because those are the people that we serve. I think we're looking into all those possibilities, and we'll be looking at them. And funding from the Department of Justice, by the way. Thank you.
No, thank you very much. I think we're coming to the end of our engagement, and also we would like to welcome you as the committee, and pledging our support that we will support you in the best way possible in the remaining time that we have in office. Feel free to continuously raise issues where you think that you need committee support. We are there to support you, because we know that through you we are supporting the members of the public. also, I think the other issue that you might need to consider as this office is an engagement with the GCIS, because they have a facility that links with all community radio stations and community TV stations as part of your outreach and educating the members of the public about the existence and the functions of this office, because we do know that even if you watch a TV, there were quite a number of programs by NCA that were covering lawyers that really robbed our people, especially with the refunds. So it's something that is threatening to erode public trust in the legal profession. So if there are such interventions that were done by the legislature in creating this office through the Act, it's important that we must strengthen the outreach programs in a manner that is less expensive, and we must be creative, because it's true that the state is facing serious financial challenges. Now, the challenge that is facing all of us, especially managers in the state and leaders, is always to look at creative means to reach or to deliver services and to reach our people in a less cost-effective way. So one of the suggestions that you might need to look at is that one of meeting with the GCIS to have access to those community radio stations. And it will be much cheaper, even free of charge, for you to do that. Secondly, also you have an opportunity of that not very few people have, of establishing an office, of establishing an organization from scratch. So what does it mean? You are establishing an organization in a rapidly changing environment. Now, how does establishment of this organization take into consideration the imperatives of the fourth industrial revolution to ensure that some of the tasks that are at a level where they are going to be replaced by you anticipate and ensure that you don't establish an organization as the department was established in the last century. You establish an organization that is going to be flexible, that is going to understand that there are functions that are better performed by the fourth industrial revolution, the research capabilities and all of those things. So it's important that as we start these new organizations, we also take those into consideration. And so that we are more responsive, we are more efficient, and at the same time we spend less when we are improving our product offering to our people. So these are some of the things that as you are establishing this organization, as you are establishing and as you are putting in place systems, as you are giving support and as you are employing people, you should have that at the back of your mind, that there are also these systems that could be integrated to form part of the new organization. But thank you very much, and we are also very pleased that quite a number of policies that you are putting in place are at an advanced stage. Whereas we have just been established now, but you have policies that are at an advanced stage, and that really shows that you really mean business. We are quite pleased with that. But if there are any other issues that you think that even if it's not today, our doors are wide open, that you can contact us that you want to support in one of the areas of your functions, we are available. Thank you very much to yourselves, and also pass our word of gratitude to Judge Desai, and wish everybody, him and the members of the office, a good weekend. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks very much, members of the Portfolio Committee. Thanks for the opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable Breitenbach, any announcement for Friday? I think it's out. Maybe slow trading. So members, let's meet on Friday. In the workshop. Any other information regarding the workshop will also be communicated by the secretariat via your emails. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Jay.
Thank you.